about is a go. All systems are normal.
Oh my gosh, you know, I don't think the systems have ever been more nominal than they are today. I feel nominal systems. Hey, welcome everybody to Out and About, February 1st, 2022. You're listening to KYRS, Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3. And today we actually have a guest in the studio, and it's been a few weeks, and so I'm really excited about that. Megan Fitzpatrick is here to talk with us today about some of the stuff she's been doing, a little bit about herself, and I think anybody who's interested in healthcare, especially for LGBT folk, this would be a really good thing to stay tuned to, I believe, and just let you guys know, there is no, right now, the live feed or the live broadcasting function of the website is down, so the archives are going to be down too. So I have my little recorder in here, and I'm going to record Megan and my conversation, and then I'll post that up on my website, and then also I'll make a link on KYRS's website to it as well, because I think this is going to be good information. Megan.
I hope so.
Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Yeah. You just pull that even closer if you want. Oh, yeah. You can relax.
There we go.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. I appreciate your time. I'm excited to be here.
I am so glad to be here. My wife, Sarah, has been telling me for a while, you have to have Megan on as a guest. She's so cool. You'll love her, and
yeah.
She's got so many interesting things to talk about for healthcare and the work that you're doing. And so why don't we just start out and just tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? Your connection with the LGBTQ community? All that stuff.
Sure. Megan Fitzpatrick. I do use they, them pronouns. I am a member of the queer community. I am originally from St. Louis, Missouri. I grew up there, was raised there, went to nursing school there, and then decided I wanted to live on the beach. So when I graduated, I moved to Gulf Shores, Alabama. I did oncology nursing in Pensacola, Florida for 3.5 years. And then I got the travel bug, so I went travel nursing, and I came to Spokane in 2013. So I've been here working in cardiac nursing mostly. I work in the cardiac transplant unit at Sacred Heart Medical Center. And then over time, it's not that I got sick of bedside care, but I wanted to do something that was more system-wide to increase access to healthcare for marginalized populations. So I went back to school in 2019 to WSU, and I graduate with my doctorate in nursing. I specialized in population health, so I graduate this May.
Wow, that's really soon.
Yeah, it's coming up. I'm excited.
Are you going to stick around in the area, do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think Spokane is very vanilla, and there's a lot of diversity moving here.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, work with marginalized populations in bigger cities, there's a lot of people doing that work. And I want to stay put in Spokane, especially as a member of the community, and make sure that our community is taken care of, and
yeah,
that there's education and resources and support for all the diversity that's moving here.
So you were basically doing your travel nursing, and you came to Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, "Oh, I think I'll stick around for a while."
Yeah, I had never heard of Spokane. I had a friend that came out here to travel nurse, and I Googled it, and I just thought, "Oh my goodness, it's beautiful. I've never really seen mountains. I like being outside." So I packed up everything, and 2 weeks later, I moved out here. And it's beautiful, and I've stayed put. You know, at the time, cost of living was really good. Now
yeah,
it's getting a little bit worse, but it's still better than bigger cities. And I think there's a lot of change and a lot of work I can do with health equity in Spokane, so I decide to stay put for the long haul.
Right. How would you compare the queer community from the places like Did you say it was St. Louis that you were from?
Yeah. So St. Louis is definitely more diverse. There's a, bigger queer population just because there's bigger numbers there.
Right.
I would say there's a very strong, resilient, beautiful queer community in Spokane. It's just because of society, you know, stigma, discrimination. I think a lot of people fear being out and being as proud as people are in bigger cities.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of issues with homophobia and racism like there is everywhere in the South when I lived there. I'm indefinitely prominent here. So, you know, that's when we talk about intersectionality, that's something we're going to have to deal with in Spokane as well. But the queer community is great here, very supportive. I love being a part of it, and I love working with people in the LGBTQ community.
Well, we're so glad you're here. So could you maybe talk about a little bit about so now you have a DNP, that's the nurse practitioner end of things, but you also have other letters there too, if I remember right? Is there?
Well, I have a bachelor's in nursing.
Right.
I'll be graduating with a doctorate in nursing, specializing in population health. I'm also going to have graduate certificates in public health, nursing leadership, and nursing education.
Okay, so that's the PH.
Yes.
That stands for public health.
It's a BSN, DNP, PH, a lot of other things. It's a lot to say.
That's a lot of letters.
It is.
That's a lot of letters. And it must be very rigorous education stuff.
It is. I'm very busy. But, you know, going back to school the second time, it was for something I'm super passionate about, something I really love. And I'm a big nerd. If someone would pay me to just go to school the rest of my life, I would. I love learning, especially about things that I'm passionate about. I think most people do. So it is rigorous. I'm busy, but I'm a go, go, go kind of person. I have trouble sitting and doing nothing. So it's worked well. And honestly, with COVID, it's been a great distraction.
I like that.
You know, I was able to really focus on school and not, you know, it's affected everybody, but it's been a blessing to be in school and be able to still work with the community I love and see people and feel a part of the community, because a lot of people, you know, were ostracized a little bit, well, a lot because of COVID.
Well, was it, did you already, when you were, had you been here with enough time to basically establish yourself with some relationships and some friends and get connected with the queer community before everything got locked down?
Oh, yeah. So I moved here in 2013.
Oh,
so
okay.
I was here
for
several years.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I started my education at Eastern in the master's public health program there in 2018. So I had been doing a little bit before COVID totally shut us down, luckily.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a long time. In fact, you probably have already seen, just in that short amount of time, a lot of good things in our community going on.
Oh, yes, a lot, especially within the last 5 years. And so, like I said, I'm excited about the diversity moving here. I'm excited to make sure there's access to health care and support for populations coming here. And Spokane's, you know, up and coming. A lot of people are moving here, and I think it's going to be an exciting place to live.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And I put my coat right in front of the clock so I can't see what time it is.
It's 4:10.
Thanks. I guess I could look at my watch, too. You talked a little bit about intersectionality.
Mm-hmm.
Would you kind of elaborate on what that is?
Well, it's basically a way of looking at, for me, health barriers and health disparities and kind of the intersections of people's lives. So obviously LGBTQ are higher risk to have barriers within healthcare because of stigma, discrimination. But if you are also Black or Brown and LGBTQ or transgender as well, you have a lot of intersections that are coming at you, a lot of barriers, so you're higher risk to have barriers for healthcare, increased health risks. So it's something, you know, racism is systemic, just like homophobia is. There's a lot of things that affect both of them. And within healthcare, you know, if we're going to increase access and make it health equitable for everybody and LGBTQ, that's going to include also dismantling systemic racism and fighting for both intersections, because you can't just address one, you have to address it all.
Yeah, I'm right on. I totally agree. It's mm-hmm. And that's, I always think about, you know, I think I would, and I think I've said this on air before, I think I would probably, you would probably see me in a Black Lives Matter protest before you'd ever see me. I mean, I do go to the gay pride parade all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun, but I feel like where I need to be is to be standing up with other marginalized communities, mm-hmm. and then because together we can all, you know, we can all make something happen for each other.
I would agree. And I think being present and using, you know, I'm very white. I come from a very privileged background. Even though I grew up in a diverse area, I want to use my privilege to uplift voices of marginalized communities and bring them resources and support, because, you know, I've benefited enough in my life and I'm in a position where I can, and
right.
I'm privileged enough to get a doctorate degree and be able to do work for these communities.
Well, I'm so excited for you. Do you know what kind of work, when you practice as a nurse practitioner, will it be?
Well, so since I went the population health route, I'm not going to be an ARNP, so I'm not going to be licensed and do direct patient care like in a doctor's office.
More research?
It's research, but it's also more public health focused. It's more system-wide.
Okay.
So, you know, we do a lot of education on, like, grant and policy working, and really just going in and making sure that there's access to healthcare and running programs, being an executive director of, like, a clinic. I'm sure we'll talk later, I'm a board member for Spectrum, which is a nonprofit LGBTQ, and working with them to, you know, create relationships with, like, hospitals to contract them to come in and do LGBTQ education for providers is a passion of mine. I do have education and leadership certificates, so even right now I'm doing some work at WSU with their nursing curriculum to make sure they're doing LGBTQ provider education,
okay.
and that all their work is inclusive. So it's more making sure, you know, corporations and companies are doing what they're supposed to when it comes to marginalized communities and increasing access to healthcare. So instead of one-on-one patient care, it's more the big picture, the whole picture.
Great. And I do want to do a deeper dive into Spectrum and Grain, your work with Grain, too.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do is usually I have to do that, and that's why I'm looking at the clock. That's because I have to do these 20-minute gigs, 420 gigs, 420, not that 420 gig, but a different one. So I'm going to go ahead, because I want to talk about that, but I don't want to have to cut our conversation short. So I'm going to go ahead and run that stuff, and then we'll get back to talking.
Local interest and progressive news programming that is refreshing, engaging, and helps expand perspectives. Just text Give KYRS to 44321 and help keep KYRS on the air.
Okay, we're back. This is DJ Captain Maeve, and I'm talking to Megan Fitzpatrick, and we're going to kind of got to know Megan a little bit, and we're going to find out more about the project she's been doing for her DMP.
Yes.
Okay.
To get a doctorate in nursing, you have to do a big project. It has to be focused on policy or program evaluation or quality improvement. So with my passions in LGBTQ provider education and just making sure we improve access to healthcare for this population, I chose to center my project on that. So since I work at Sacred Heart, I had lots of connections there. I knew that there was a place within our electronic charting to chart someone's gender identity and sexual orientation. However, they had never educated staff on it because I'm part of the queer community and a lot of people that I work with know what I do, you know, outside of work. I was always the go-to, well, how do we approach this? How do I ask somebody? We need education. And I'm not there 24/7. And so I felt like we were really doing our LGBTQ patients a disservice by not having education on this.
Well, so there is right now at Sacred Heart the capability to say that somebody's non-binary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about like trans female, or do you, mm-hmm. would you just chart them as female, or how would you do that?
They're all the options under the rainbow. I mean,
okay.
really within the computer charting system, the options are endless. But having the options doesn't mean they're utilized if staff
yes.
isn't educated on it. And so I had to, the project started summer of 2021. I had to do hours and hours and hours of research. And basically, research told me that the best place to ask somebody this information would be at initial contact, so they are treated appropriately and how they would like to be treated throughout their stay at the hospital. So I conducted my project in the emergency room, and it was basically give nursing staff a survey, see what they did and didn't know. We did gender identity and sexual orientation education, showed them where to chart it, how to chart it, and then there was a post-survey. So I'm in the process of analyzing all my data, and then I will be done in probably end of April, and then I'll be disseminating my findings, and hopefully I'll be accepted to the Providence Nurse Research Conference, and I'll be able to share my findings with them.
So when you find... When you find the answer to this, do you come up with policies or programs, or is that somebody else's thing that they do to make sure that people are charting correctly?
Yeah, so it's basically just, you know, quality improvement to increase gender identity disclosure at the hospital. However, if published, it would be some evidence-based information. It's really utilized, you know, since I did it, and the emergency department in Spokane, it's not going to be generalizable research to everywhere in the country. However, people will be able to read it and say, you know, we want this education too. This is how they did this project. Here's some ideas on what you can do. And it's really going to give the community and healthcare providers kind of implications and recommendations on where we should go from there.
How is the emergency room staff? Were they receptive to that?
They were super receptive. And even in the research that I conducted, a lot of healthcare providers, you know, it's a lot of implicit bias. It's a lot of, you know, stigma. A lot of people I've talked to, it's not that they don't want to give the best care they can to the LGBTQ population. It's that they're afraid to offend somebody.
Yes.
It's historically, and when I was and I went to nursing school about 12 years ago now, we did not talk about this. It was not brought up. We didn't talk about barriers for this population. We didn't talk about gender identity and pronouns and how to address somebody. And it's caused a lot of negative health effects for this community, and there's tons of evidence and research on it. So a lot of people are open to it. They just, it either isn't available, or they don't know how to go about it, or they're just too busy at work, and if it's not mandatory, maybe they're not going to do it, because if it's not important to them, then, you know, why should they? So I'm kind of here to make sure education is there. It's mandatory. There's no excuse for a healthcare provider to not be educated on this. And it's nice to see that there's a lot of resources right now with Spectrum and Grain and even Planned Parenthood. They have a lot of healthcare provider, like LGBTQ friendly provider resource banks that the community can go to and know that they're going to go to an educated provider that's going to treat them well.
That's good. When I was a paramedic with the fire department, one of the things was charting. We didn't have that in our tablet that we had to chart all the stuff, you know, and so that was, you had male or female,
mm-hmm.
or undetermined.
Mm-hmm.
That was all you could write in there.
Which is a terrible
yes,
phrase.
And then, but the worst part for me was always doing a 12 lead on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in the Life Pack 15, you put in their age, you male or female on that. And, you know, and it was always like, well, I don't know. Nobody has told me the algorithm in the computer program how important this is. I can't even imagine it's that important.
It's usually not.
Yeah. And so I would just go, if they're watching me, and usually they would be watching, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'd make sure if it was a trans female, I'd go female. I just,
mm-hmm.
you know, like thumbs up, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, and that's the problem, you know, in our society in general. It's always been binary, you know, male or female.
Yes.
Not very gender diverse. And so, you know, I did a lot of work with Planned Parenthood's gender affirming program when I was in school to go through all their forms, make sure it's inclusive, make sure it's not binary, and kind of open that up to accept everybody. And I try and tell, you know, even, you know, heterosexual, straight, white patients, I ask them what their pronouns are, they get offended. Like, why would you ask me that? I'm not gay. Well, don't you want to be treated like the best way possible and have your wishes known? And that's kind of, we want to treat everybody the same. And that's what I teach students I've taught in the past, is, or just people at the hospital. You shouldn't be, you should be asking everybody this information. It's not like you look at someone and perpetuate discrimination and judgment and say, well, I think they're gay, so I'm going to ask them what their pronouns are.
Right.
To kind of break down barriers and get it more socially acceptable, we need to be treating everybody the same. And it really is about health equity for everybody. It's not about someone being better or worse than somebody else. You want to treat everybody well.
Right. It's almost like universal precautions. You mm-hmm. know, there's just this blanket thing that you always do. You always put on a pair of gloves, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah, so.
Yeah. So I'm just here to kind of, you know, knock down doors a little bit and make people do what they're supposed to be doing and get things to change, because, you know, there's a lot of discrimination still. A lot of people aren't aware of what happens with homophobia, transphobia, and racism combined and all of that. So,
And the worst, and a lot of times you're seeing people maybe on the worst day of their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that enters into, and I know nurses are so short-staffed. I had a friend who was a nurse at Deaconess, and she was listening to some of the other nurses who were working at the floor, the gender affirmation surgeries now take place at Deaconess,
mm-hmm.
where they were when I went, was at Gritman Medical Center, which was a wonderful experience, but they were really being pretty short with some of the trans patients and basically, you know, using the wrong pronouns just to be mean to them. And maybe these trans patients were being jerks too, but so it was like, well, you have to address. So they called me in to talk to them about that. Mm-hmm. It was always about like, well, you have to address the behavior,
exactly.
You know, not the person. And also, you're not saying anything about that person. All you're doing is saying something about yourself.
I would agree. I definitely agree. Yeah, especially with transphobia. I mean, gender affirming care is life saving. There are people, you know, every single day in our community that commit suicide over this.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely something we need to change. When doing my research, I found 30%, which is a low number, I know it's more than that, of the LGBTQ community, especially transgender and gender diverse folks, do not seek health care because of negative experience with a provider, or they're scared they're not going to be treated well. And that's unacceptable. That is not something that should ever happen. So that's kind of why I do this work, and I stay passionate about it.
Well, that's good. We need somebody like you doing it. So thank you.
You're welcome.
You were talking about Spectrum a little bit. So,
yes.
You know, Spectrum, to me, I was unaware of Spectrum until maybe about 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And then it just came up, and it was gangbusters. And maybe you could talk a little bit about who they are and what they do.
Love Spectrum. So Spectrum is a nonprofit LGBTQ organization within Spokane. I became a board member for them in November of 2020. That could be incorrect. I want to say they've been around since early 2020, late 2019.
Okay. Really a short time.
Yes. The executive director, Ash, and I have... It was something that even at the beginning of my schooling in 2018, there were talks about Spectrum. They were just now kind of getting the idea out there and making it like a concrete physical thing. And so honestly, in the last 2 or 3 years, to be able to see the organization grow how it has been amazing. They've done a lot of really good work. So basically what Spectrum is, they're a nonprofit. The end goal is to have a LGBTQ community safe, like, clinic drop-in center. They focus on education and advocacy. They would like to partner, I think, eventually with WSU's med school to have an in-house, like, trans health community clinic. But it's basically to have a safe, welcoming place for gender diverse populations to come in the community. And like I said, they do a lot of work with LGBTQ education within companies. You can contract them to come in and educate on just LGBTQ issues, how to be a welcoming environment, how to make sure your employees feel safe. And so, yeah, they're a great organization. I love working with them. They did a lot of COVID vaccine clinics where they were paying people in the community to come out and get vaccinated.
Wow.
And their goal is to give back to the LGBT community as much as they can. So they hire people within the community. They want to make sure they're very big on giving livable wages, covering all employees' health benefits. They run their organization really well, and I'm very proud to be a board member for them.
Well, I talked with some of them at the Pride Parade this year, mm-hmm. some of the folks there, and I was really impressed with what they were doing. And I think do they have a physical facility yet? Because they
were
right on the verge.
Not yet, because of COVID.
Yeah.
A lot of issues because of COVID. I think within the next couple of years, we're going to see probably a physical space pop up. And I'm really looking forward to it. I hope I'm involved in it in some way. I think it's going to... There's nothing like this in Spokane. And like I said, with the diverse populations moving here, we really do need to have a prominent LGBTQ community organization that gives back. They do a lot of work with resources. They have resources on like gender and ID changing clinics. They work with Gonzaga's Law School for legal services. They have a healthcare provider resource bank on their website. They just do so much for the community. So it's going to be exciting what we see with them.
Yeah, and that's, in just the basic education, maybe some people are listening to this conversation right now in their cars and saying, gender, sex, isn't that the same thing? You know, is a gay person, a trans person? And I think everybody knows that that's not the same thing. You know, mm-hmm. trans is basically who you are, and gender is who you are, and you're, whether you're heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, pansexual, whatever, that's who you want to have sex with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, there's a basic level of education that still needs to be done in our city, I think, about those issues.
Yeah, and I think some of that's probably the effects of being a more conservative area. But even in bigger cities, this education should be provided in schools. Kids should be aware of this. And also, that's another reason why I do so much work with the nursing program at WSU and even the med school, is a lot of these programs aren't even teaching basics. And if you're in healthcare, you should know the difference between gender identity and sexual orientation.
Yeah.
So it baffles me, but, I get it. It makes sense why, but it's still not okay and something that needs to change.
Right. Yeah. And, I think when I was starting out my coming out process, 5 or 6 years ago now, I was seeing a counselor, and really the only thing that was going on was a transgender support group. That was really the only game in town.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of the counselor really wasn't involved in the running of it even. And so it was just kind of let me put it this way, it was an informal mm-hmm. gathering. And there's been, on Facebook, there are a couple of different sites for people in the community. And I belong to like a veterans transgender support group mm-hmm. on Facebook. And then also firefighters. That's the one. I always get calls from firefighters, messages from firefighters all over the English-speaking world. Well, how do I do this?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do? And I send them my letter and help, but... it'd be great to have, and it sounds like Spectrum is going to kind of step into that void, I think,
mm-hmm.
of where people can go for information. I can't tell you how many times somebody puts on a Facebook post, how do I change my name? And it's like, mm-hmm. well, for one thing, you could probably do a Google search,
mm-hmm.
but I think people are afraid, and they're in a closed community, and as a, that was, being trans was the most scary thing that I thought anybody could ever know about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept it really close to my vest. So it's great that Spectrum will be out there holding people's hands through this process.
Yeah, and they do a lot of community outreach in rural areas, which is super important, you know, because when you feel isolated, you feel like there aren't resources and there aren't people there to help, and there are. You just have to find them. So we're there to be out and proud and loud and and make people have to treat members of the LGBTQ community with dignity and respect, because, you know, we are all human beings. We all deserve to be treated as such, and not to be judged.
Yeah, that Gripman medical experience, medical center experience I had for my surgeries, I remember talking to a nurse probably 3 o'clock in the morning, and you know, this is a small town. This is in Moscow, Idaho, so it's a very small hospital where they're doing this. And you know, she opened the door, and my eyes were just open because, you know, I couldn't sleep, and a couple days after the surgeries, and she and I had this lovely conversation, and I realized talking to her, probably maybe she didn't even really believe that there's